Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Brian Carrington, and you're listening to Call Talk for April 13th, 2011. Today's topic is IVRs, go with the flow, tips for optimal IVR call flow design. Now, if you're listening live, we invite you to be a part of the show and ask questions. Here's how you do it. It's really simple. You can email me at brian@benchmarkportal.com, or if you're listening through calltalk.tv, just chat with us right on that center chat bar. Now, if you're listening on the phone or just close to one, you can call us at 347-857-3117. And make sure to press the number 1 on your phone to let me know you have a question, and I'll do my best to get you in. Now, if you are on calltalk.tv and having any trouble listening to the show, do the same. Give us a call at 347-857-3117. Now, everyone who asks a question on the show today, whether through email or phone, will receive a free copy of Bruce's book, Benchmarking at Its Best. And an in-depth reality benchmark report valued at $1,500 will also go to one of our listeners today. Now, as I mentioned, we have a very special offer to our live listeners today. Not only are we going to give away the free in-depth reality check benchmark report, but in conjunction with Vocal Labs, we are going to give someone a 50% off coupon for one of our Phase 1 IVR assessments that usually run at $7,500. So, look like a hero and bring this to the next budget meeting. It'll definitely do well. And we'll do this through the email, so listen close, and I'll say, be ready to type. All right. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and available to listen to at any time at calltalk.tv. So, at this point, I'd like to introduce the host of Call Talk, Bruce Belfiore.
Thank you very much, Brian, and welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. You know, Brian, we know this IVR area is a major issue for many call centers. We constantly hear about the importance of it and the problems that it sometimes brings call centers. And we all know that good service really starts at the door. Think of going into a nice hotel where the doorman welcomes you in and sets the tone and the atmosphere and really gives you your first impression of what it's going to be like to have service in that hotel. Well, the doorway to the call center is the IVR, and I found that the components of what I call your IVR IQ are so important to good service. And the pieces to put together include technology, routing, prompts, pleasant voices, really best practices each step of the way. And the way to do things really well involves putting a microscope on each of these elements. So be ready to take notes today on insights that will increase customer satisfaction and hopefully reduce costs in a measurable manner, since today's IVR topic is tips for optimal IVR call flow design. And we brought in an expert on the topic for you, Jay Mannucci. He's the president and founder of Service Agility, a consulting company dedicated to improving customer service and call center operations. In this role, he provides strategic and tactical guidance across a multitude of industries for enterprises that seek to optimize customer interactions. He's helped startup operations to Fortune 500 corporations and has completed assignments in contact centers around the globe. He's on the editorial board and writes a monthly article for Contact Center Pipeline and contributes to a variety of other journals and books, including the most recent edition of Call Center Management on Fast Forward. He's taught a number of classes in call center management and is a featured speaker at many industry conferences. Previously, Jay ran the consulting division for ICMI for 8 years, and before that spent 17 years running award-winning call center operations. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jay Mannucci. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Jay. Let me see if I can get him back on there. Jay, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, good. Okay, well, welcome aboard.
All right, thanks. I appreciate the introduction. It's great to be here with you.
Okay, good. Well, Jay, the industry gets a lot of criticism from customers about long, confusing, menus. Do you think that it's justified?
I wish it weren't, Bruce, but I think as an industry, I'd have to agree that it is. I wouldn't say that every contact center can be criticized for having a frustrating call flow design, but there's enough of them that customers way too often have to run into choices that really wind up just being more confusing than they are helpful.
It would seem that putting a few choices together in good logical English and maybe some Spanish shouldn't be too difficult a task. You know, why is it that it seems to be so difficult?
It may just be because of what you said. I mean, the appearance of it is that it is pretty easy to do, and I think because of that, we don't give it enough attention. And the fact of the matter is it's a lot more difficult than it appears on the surface. Whoever has to do the design, you have to realize they're working on two sides of the problem, and the one is that they've got to get it so that it complements that skills-based routing application so that you can get that call. You know, it's got to get to the right agent. I mean, that's the purpose of the design. So they've got a very technical piece there. But the other side of it is they've got a human interaction with it. They've got to write it in a way that a customer can understand it very quickly and move through it really very easily. So you've got somebody that really has to do both sides of the equation. They've got to engineer for human behavior, and they have to engineer for an advanced application. And that, to me, is really what makes it so challenging.
Okay. No, those are excellent points, Jay. And so the question that I'm sure some of our listeners are asking is, how do you balance those two? And I encourage all of our listeners, too, to email in their questions or to call in their questions, because we'd love to interact with you. But, you know, how do you balance those two elements?
It's not that easy. I think what you have to do when you start looking at the design, there's a lot of little tips and tricks. I mean, people have written about them, and there's a lot of different design practices that people are supposed to use. But I think you have to step back one step as you're going through the process of putting the design together, and you have to have an overall strategy. And I always suggest a golden rule to clients when they're putting these together, and that is each customer reaching each menu should easily find one, but only one, logical choice for them.
Yeah, and so really you need to put yourself, and this is what we preach so often, isn't it, that you need to put yourself in the customer's position.
Yeah.
And try to think about what their demographic is like, what their need is like, what their thought process is like, and to really try to therefore offer them a menu that's going to work for them. It's like being in a restaurant and trying to make sure that there's a menu that includes something that can appeal to everybody and get them to the result that they're looking for.
Yeah, and the language, too, to the list of things that you added, I would say that the language as well. You know, we speak our own language in contact centers and in our own industries, and, you know, customers don't always recognize that same language.
Yeah, and just last week I was giving a speech and talking about the differences in the different age groups. You know, you've got the boomers, you've got the silent generation, you've got the Gen X, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you, if you have a dominant demographic that's calling into your center, take that into account. Make sure that your IVR reflects a knowledge of that group because they communicate differently. And you want to make sure that you get that in there as well. Have you seen that as well?
I have, and, you know, there's not a lot of businesses out there that strictly cater to one type of customer, but where you do, that's where you really do see, when they've designed it right, you really do see differences from one to another. And, you know, you see people that, you know, might break off from the given best practice because it doesn't work for their particular demographic. And I think it's especially true with businesses that cater more to the Gen X or the Gen Y population, and, you know, they figured out different ways to communicate and better ways to communicate with the customers, and, of course, that's got to be part of the design.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and how do you see advanced technology working its way into all this? Because speech recognition is in use in a lot of contact centers today. How much is this helping make it easier for the customer and making it easier for the call center manager who's trying to balance everything that you've been talking about?
Yeah, you know, again, probably very situational. There are contact centers out there where I think it's helping quite a bit. Speech rec, by the way, which you brought up. If you haven't listened to it in the past 5 or 10 years, it's way better than it was back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. So the technology
back when it was terrible, right?
it was. Yeah, I mean, it never seemed to hear or understand what you're saying. But really now, you know, with simple phrases and stated numbers and things like that, it almost always gets it right. And in certain instances, I think speech rec, it really fits great. If you've got, you know, a calling base that is typically mobile customers and, you know, it's not really easy for them to punch in numbers, it works well there. My favorite application for speech rec is what I call a long list application. If you've got a contact center that, for example, has to identify the state that somebody may be calling about, and you can't do it through Annie or some other means, to just be able to say, you know, I'm calling from Pennsylvania or I'm calling from Texas, it cuts through what could be 3 or 4 very confusing menus. So it can be real helpful in some cases. You know, like anything else, you have to monitor it. You have to track how many times you're giving out that, I'm sorry, I did not understand the response message. But as long as you do that and you've got the right application, I think it can be very helpful.
Right. And what you were mentioning there about states, that can be very important, for instance, for insurance companies where you have to have people with licenses dealing with it, or perhaps those folks who have distribution in a specific geographic area. So that can be, you know, very important to really speed things along both for the center and for the customer. So, important. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think, you know, the one thing it offers there, it's a bit of a game changer. You used the insurance example, which is really a good one. You know, before speech rec, you know, you really don't have the capability to ask that question with touch tone input. So you don't even think that you could identify the state that the person may be calling about. But then you add the speech rec and you say, hey, now I've got a capability. I can actually change my business process. And that's exactly what you want to see from technology.
Right, exactly. Where it gives you not just a little incremental step, but something that's important for both you and for the customer, reducing your costs and at the same time increasing the level of service to the customer. And in terms of speech rec, I remember being at an event not that long ago, and they were talking about what was introduced in Canada, Bell Canada, Emily. And there's the story, I don't know if it's true or apocryphal, but it's a great story, that a woman called in, an older woman, and she interacted with Emily, who's their voice personality, if you will, and had a very good experience, and supposedly called a couple days later because she thought of something else she needed, and insisted on talking to Emily because she was such a nice young woman who had done such a good job for her a couple days before.
Yeah, that's terrific. I hadn't heard that story, but that's a good one. And, you know, there's a few people that have taken that speech rec and put the persona on top of it and really gotten something out of it.
Yeah. So, these things really, and I've seen great strides done too, and you're absolutely right, people who haven't heard the latest in speech reco in the last few years really haven't heard it yet because it's so different than it used to be. Well, you know, one of the things, Jay, that we love are metrics. Those are things that can really help to measure success at menu design. So let's go back to that for a second because that's a sort of an elemental building block of the whole thing. And this really isn't a format where we can go through the specifics of, you know, how do you come up with the perfect, you know, menu design. But what are some of the ways that, well, actually you can, if you'd like to mention some of those elements and also how you measure success at menu design. If you could comment on those things, I think that would be helpful to our audience. Hello, Jay?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, no, we can
I think
hear
we
you
lost
now.
It.
Are we on? Yeah,
we lost
me. I'm not sure
second.
What. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. I got dropped there.
Okay.
Bruce, you might need to repeat that question.
Okay. No, not at all. Well, if we could just talk about sort of some of the elements of good menu design, okay, some takeaways for our listeners with regard to elements of good menu design, and also what are some metrics that can be used to measure their success?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, well, let me start with the metrics first then, because we're in contact centers and we love numbers, right? So
So
I'll start there. I think transfers is a great number, because keep in mind you're certainly trying to use the IVR for self service, but you're really using it to route the call as well. If the call gets into an agent and then has to get transferred again, that's an indication that the menu didn't work. Despite what you think you may have done with the design, so transfers often aren't measured by contact centers. Most of the places I go don't measure them, and I think that they should. So that's number one out of the gate. And a second one that I'll give you is I really like the idea of measuring the time that it takes to get through a menu. I like to think of time in terms of real estate. It's the real estate that we have when we're doing design, and you want to use as little of it as possible. A lot of phone systems don't measure the time that it takes somebody to get through an IVR. So if you don't have that, well, then you're going to have to get manual and stopwatches and those types of things and measure averages. But I think it's worthwhile to do it. So the metrics point oftentimes to the right practices, and those are two metrics that I think are really very important.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Transfer is extremely important, and the time it takes to get through the menu. So there, it's almost like you're testing the patience of the person. So it's like one of those either stopwatch or those hourglasses that has a sand going through. And if you think of the fact that the sand that's going through that hourglass is like the patience of the customer on the phone. And how far are you going to let it get down until they do something which is actually the third metric that we might look at, which is opt-outs, right? So in addition to transfers, which are, okay, did you get to the right person, or, in fact, did you get to the wrong person and have to transfer to someone else in order to get the call answered in the way you need it to be answered? In addition to the time it takes to get through the menu, another one could be opt-outs, those people who say, look, I've had enough of this IVR. I want to opt-out to a live agent, whoever it is, just so that I can get a person to talk to me. So I think these are great metrics. Yeah, very good. Did you have something else there, Jay?
No. Well, you had asked a little bit about, design practices as well. And I was one of the things I was going to mention that while it takes a lot of, and I used the term engineering before, it really takes an engineering focus to put the design in place properly. The other side of that fence is that the wording matters tremendously. So I think once you've gone through and decided the mechanics of it and how it should design, you have to. One of the best practices is to stop and really look at the wording. I love your idea of the hourglass, so you're thinking of the wording in terms of simplicity and speed, but you also have to think of it in terms of the customer and what they understand and what they don't. A great example is I did some work with a bank a while ago, and one of their options was, for demand deposit accounts, press 1, because... Mm-hmm. Everybody in the banking world understands what a demand deposit account is, but unfortunately, not all your customers do. It's those small things. If you can take the time to look at the wording from a customer's perspective, that's a great practice that'll really help improve self-service utilization rates and the accuracy of your transfers.
Mm-hmm. Make it as friendly as possible. And I have a commercial banking background, so I would know exactly what they were talking about there. But I had to learn that. No, I had to
exactly
be trained in that. And you don't want people to have to go through training in your three-letter acronyms and your jargon in order to be able to go through one of your IVR systems. So that's a really good point, So actually, in part with that in mind, who should be in charge of menu design? Should it be the business part or IT?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question because I think you can certainly make an argument for either. And, you know, the IT department, they will have the technical expertise to get the most out of the system that you have, the IVR and the menu system that you have. But, you know, on the other side of the fence, they're not going to have the business understanding. The business will have that, and they'll be more likely to be able to word things properly, but they won't necessarily be able to match it up with all the skills-based routing that sits behind your system. So, you know, both of them, they've got a piece of it. So, you know, I think the best approach is, do you have anybody or do you have a group of people in the organization that understand some of both? And in a lot of companies I go to, like, I might find that in an advanced reporting group or in a workforce management group, you know, something like that. And if you've got staff that can really speak both languages, the language of the customer and the language of the technology, to me, that's the best place where you could put the responsibility of menu design.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that's one of the bilingualisms that is lacking oftentimes, but the ability to speak the customer's language and the ability to speak the interior language and the technical language is very important. Well, Brian, I know that you've got some listener questions coming through, so why don't I turn it over to you for a second to ask those.
Okay, sounds good, you guys. And I do want to remind all of our live listeners that if you're on the phone or would like to call in, you can do so and just press the number 1. I'll be able to talk to you off air and then get you on air and let you interact with Bruce and Jay today. That phone number is 1-347-857-3117. And I already noticed and want to thank some of our listeners from Michigan, Florida, and Massachusetts, just to name a few. But I have about 5 or 6 questions through Call Talk that people are chatting in, so let's dive right into those. The first one is, what's the best way to deal with background noise when using SpeechRec?
Jay, do you have something on that?
That is a great one. And, you know, as much as I've said that the technology has improved, that's the one thing that really causes a problem with it. The systems are better now than they ever have been. They're doing a better job of being able to filter out background noise, but it is still a problem. It's the one area where you run into issues. And I think I'd mentioned that I thought a good application for SpeechRec is when you have people that are on the go, that are mobile. The downside to that is the background noise problem and just the quality of the line in general. I think the only thing that I can say as far as doing that is there's a few different SpeechRec companies that are out there. There's not that many, even though you can get your IVR and your auto attendant applications from a lot of different players. When you look at it and when you buy SpeechRec from them, it's really only coming from 2 or 3 different vendors. And I would look closely at who it's coming from, who's providing the SpeechRec, and go with the organization that's really got the best SpeechRec. And your vendor will be able to help you with that because they know who the best ones are.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a case where exactly, for instance, travel, airlines, et cetera, they're perfect for speech recognition because you're on the go and you want to just be able to speak something in instead of being pushing buttons. However, you're more likely to have noises from the cab, noises from, you know, the office building, even the screaming baby. That could get in the way. And I think what we may see in the future is that these systems are able to voice print you at the beginning. So assuming they get a good voice print of you up front, then they screen everything out except for what fits your voice print. And when we get to that point, then I think we'll have something that answers the listener's question pretty well. Who was that, by the way, Brian?
Unfortunately, I can't tell. It's just saying guest on there, but thank you to the guest for asking that. And my next question is right along that line if you're done answering, Bruce.
Yes, I am. Yep. Let's go on to the next.
Okay. The next one is, should you always give the option to use dual tone, multi-frequency, or speech?
All right, I'll take this and pass it off to you there, Bruce, and see if you've got a different opinion. I think that you should. I think, you know, as much as we may be comfortable with it right now in the industry because we've been, you know, we've been around speech rec for so long, for most of our organizations, a lot of our customers really aren't that comfortable with it. So you want to provide that as kind of a bridge for customers to be able to kind of get used to talking to a machine, for one. And then secondly, you know, depending on what your application is, if your application is fairly simple, there are people that will still find it a lot easier just to push a couple buttons. If you've got, you know, three menus, you know, no more than three or four options, a lot of people would probably just as soon push the buttons if they're in an environment where it's simple to do that in office or in their house or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that. I think that there are people who would be who are more comfortable using it, and for a variety of reasons, have to do with accents, everything else. It's good to have both if possible. So. Yeah, I would agree with that, and thank you for that question. Brian, do we have others?
Oh, yeah, a couple more coming. This one, another guest. What's the optimum number of choices for main options and submenus?
Yeah, we were talking about this before, weren't we, Jay?
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it written, you know, you hear the 3x4 as kind of a guideline, you know, no more than three menus, no more than four choices deep on each one. And my take on that is I really like the idea behind it. It's a kind of an objective way to produce what you were talking about before, Bruce, when you were talking about having an hourglass there. The idea is to make it simple and to make it quick and easy for your customers. Having said that, though, I have found that people bind themselves up. They say, well, I can't have more than four options on this menu, so instead of adding a fifth, they do something else. They either cram a few selections together or they create another layer of menus, and the something else that they do 9 times out of 10 is worse than if they had just broken that rule by a little bit anyway. So I think they're good guidelines, but I really do believe that each company is going to be very customized in their approach to how they structure the number of menus and the number of choices, and you just have to try and keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, and I kind of start with a 4x4, just like the cars, you know. But then you have to really look at the individual situation and what the alternatives are given the options you have to give to your customer. And also, just like in certain industries, in certain areas, you can have metrics that will look quite different, because people are willing to wait longer, for instance, for their healthcare supplier, whereas they'll get very annoyed perhaps with their catalog company if they don't pick up pretty quickly. There are certain tolerances that people will have for different industries, and so you need to check that, you know, with your industry, with your user group, and then try to follow customer satisfaction surveys as much as possible and find out, you know, what the tolerances are for your group, or do some IVR testing to see what seems to work for yourself. So I agree with you, Jay. It has to be tailored to your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be tailored in a way that's as scientific as possible and keeps in mind the needs of the customer, not just something where it's sort of, we can't do it this way, so we'll do it that way, and, you know, the customer would be damned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the fact that it has to be customized isn't an excuse to forget that it still has to be simple and easy. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, good question. Do we have another one, Brian?
Yeah, we do. But before I get to the next couple, it's about 30 minutes after the hour, and you know, this is at the point where we wanted to offer up the giveaway here in a second. And from what I'm listening to, both Bruce, you and Jay mentioning that an IVR setup is obviously very custom to the industry, and that you almost need to take some sort of assessment to decide and figure out if it's working or not for you. And behind that, that's, I think, part of the reason that we are wanting to offer this to all of our viewers or our listeners today. And part of an assessment engagement, there is a panel of people from the United States and Canada will actually call in and go through a couple different scenarios and then respond in another survey how well they were able to get through the IVR, if they reached the correct person, how long it took, and then all that information is available for further assessment to the client. So with that being said, it's time to give that away. And what we want to do is it's a 50% off coupon for a call center IVR assessment. And this engagement is already a deal at $7,500. But in an effort to show you and all of our listeners our appreciation for listening into it and giving us all the great questions and suggestions that you've brought to us, we want to give you something, that assessment for half off. And so the catch is this, though. You must be able to use it within 1 to 2 months. And it's okay if it doesn't end up working out that way. But I want to award it then if it does to another listener on today's show so that we make sure someone gets to make use of this. So here's how we're going to do it. And to be as fair as possible, basically you're about to send out an email, but don't do it yet. First, let's put everyone on an even playing field. Enter in the address, and that's mine, brian@benchmarkportal.com. And then in the subject line, type in IVR. So I'll give you a second to do that. Again, it's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at benchmarkportal.com. And keep in mind, this is a $3,750 kind of thing that we're throwing out there for you guys. So hopefully you're interested. So now we're all on the same page, hopefully. This is where it comes to your part of the equation. Remember earlier in our show just today when Bruce and Jay were talking about metrics. So here's the question. What is one of the two metrics that Jay mentioned that can be used to measure the success at your menu design? One of the two, and actually three were actually thrown out, but all I need is one of them. So the seventh person in my email to have the correct answer to that will win the 50% discount for an IVR assessment. Go. And good luck to everybody, and hopefully we'll see who gets that here soon. So to our archive listeners, I'm sorry, but this is only good for the live listeners. But if you're listening to this a month down the road and you send me an email, I appreciate it. Happy to talk to you, but I can't give you the 50% discount. So good luck, everybody, and I hope you'll learn a lot from that exercise. Okay, so on to our next question. This comes from another guest. So Jay and Bruce, can an IVR be set up to deliver personalized messages to preferred customers? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I actually think that that's potentially the future of what you're going to see with self-service, because I think, you know, many organizations have tapped out the current strategy, which is, hey, let's find the simple and the short and the ordinary and move those into self-service. And I think what we're going to start looking at now is what are the personalized patterns. And I'll give an example, because I go through this every time I travel internationally. Once I do that, when I come back, and normally it's for business, so the first thing I need to do is create an expense report. And I don't know the exchange rates from wherever I was at the time that I may have used my credit card. So I always need to call my credit card company. And obviously the credit card company knows that I was out of the country because they're seeing the transactions. At some point in time, what I'd love to see is calling into the credit card company, and instead of being given my account balance and my last check date and my last check number, that they recognize, hey, this is Jay calling again. He was over in Europe last week. He always calls after he's traveled internationally. He probably wants exchange rates, and boom, my menu becomes, you know, selection number one, do you want exchange rates for any international travel? And that is, you know, there's companies out there that are starting to look at that now. Obviously, you know, a programming intensive, a customized type of operation, but I do think that that's the next horizon of what we're going to see with IVR applications.
No, I agree. I think that that is actually a very exciting area. of CTI, you know, computer telephony integration going forward. And with particularly the rise of the Gen X, Gen Y folks, it's not so much, you know, my company loves me because they gave me a person to talk to. It's more they love me and deserve my loyalty because they gave me the answer I'm looking for in a really cool way. And I think that's what the future is going to hold. And it's actually going to be very good for all of us, both as customers and as managers. Not necessarily going to be an easy thing to do well, but when it's done well, it's going to elicit a lot of wows, you know, from the customer base. So great question. I really like that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Actually, okay. I can follow up with that, and this is coming from Anda in reference to the last question. Can this be done on outbound to announce this call will be recorded?
Yeah, it can, and it is now. I know there's, you know, and again, it's going to depend on what kind of equipment you have, but that's the type of thing that can be added to dialing equipment and also even virtual hold type of equipment, which, you know, in effect is an outbound call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that we're seeing, too, is that there's more emphasis on doing outbound really well. I think that it's a area of the call center field, really, that has found itself extremely regulated and has been, corralled toward best practices. And it's a sort of part of that overall movement toward professionalization. And we see it actually coming to some good points. And it's something that needed to happen and is happening. So, I think we're going to see a lot of emphasis on best practices in that area going forward, including the ones you just mentioned, Jay. So those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Brian, do you have some more? I know we're kind of getting to the end of our time, but if you have one or two more, maybe we could still have time to answer them.
I sure do. Okay, this one comes again from a guest asking, what are the best techniques to reduce dropouts in the IVR? And then I've got another question followed up by that from Ann, if we have the time.
Okay.
Okay. I think... to keep people from dropping out, it has, obviously there's some mechanical things that need to be in place. A lot of times people drop out because of delays in connecting to back-end database systems and things like that. So you certainly have to clean those types of things up. But beyond that, I think the key to keeping people into it comes in advance, and it comes in the manner in which you direct people into those applications. If in some instances and in some organizations where the self-help options are going to be a little bit more complex, I think usually, rule of thumb, it's better to let people know, hey, you're going into a self-service application so that they can prepare for it. On the other hand, where the information is pretty simple, you know, the account balance type of thing or a mailing address, that type of thing, it's better to simply work it into the conversation, get people to, within the menu, indicate, hey, what I need is a mailing address and simply provide it back, or what I need is an account balance and simply provide it back, without even, going into the explanation of, you know, you're entering an automated system right now. So it's most of the work that happens up front to get people in that'll determine whether or not they stay in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's, again, part of it's going to have to do with the demographic as well. Just as we've seen on chat, totally different topic, but Whereas you had these people who were able to multitask and take up to four or five chats at a time, usually they're members of the Gen X, Gen Y generation because they're able to do that sort of thing. But, you know, if their counterparts are all Gen X, Gen Y, then they demand a quicker type of service than it was the case in the past. And so they can, you know, your agent can actually handle fewer. You know, here, similarly, you're going to have people drop out according to their tolerance for what's going on. And it's not necessarily going to be the younger people, the Gen X and Yers, who drop out more quickly. In some cases, it will be the people, you know, I have some family members who are like this, who say, just get me a person. And so, you know, how do you make your IVR attractive to those people so that they don't want to drop out? So anyway, okay, Brian, do we have one more before we wrap this up?
Yeah, we sure do. This one comes from Anne, and asking, do you always offer option to repeat menu and an option to return to previous or main menu?
I had this question come up the other day. I was doing a presentation on this topic, and someone asked that. You know, there's usually some standards on that, you know, about, you know, using the star button to return to last menu and that sort of thing. I'm a proponent of very simple and easy menus, and a lot of times when I'm designing, it's usually a two-choice, a two- or three-choice menu, because that tends to be easier for us as humans to just choose one or the other. And I think when you have simple menus like that, I think you're cause more confusion by saying, if you want to go back, if you need this repeated, press this. If you want to go back, press this. If it's just a simple one or two or one, two, three type of menu, I think you're better off not saying it. Now, you can always program for it so that, you know, if they do hit a star, and typically that means go to the previous menu, then you can program it in. But that doesn't mean that you have to say it. And as I said before, I consider the menus the same way as I consider real estate. So I want to use up as little as possible. I want to use as few words as possible to get my message across. So most of the time I like to design without stating that, even though in the background I may program it that way.
Mm-hmm. And I might differ a little bit on that one, Jay, in that I like the repeated one because I use it myself so often. And there, you know, having that option to repeat so I can get a pencil, so I can understand it, whatever it happens to be, I think it can be useful. But, you know, I understand your point. I think that that's one, though, that we recommend that oftentimes be there. So for Ann, maybe, Ann, were you at that speech he gave the other day and we're asking the question again? Anyway, okay, well, listen, I think this is great. We have had such good questions coming from the audience. And, Jay, I really want to thank you for your insights. Really, really great insights on this very important area. It's one of those areas that involves a lot of blocking and tackling. It's really very getting down to the nitty-gritty of what we do in terms of handling calls, call flow, all of those things, but just extremely important. And when it's done well, makes such a difference for our call centers. So thank you very much for being with us. And with that, I'd like to hand it back over to Brian.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. And thank you very much, Jay, for joining us on the show today. As everyone, I'm sure, on the call knows, IVR is a very crucial component to the success of a call center and good customer service to your clients. So a lot of good information out there today. I do want to congratulate our winner, and thank you, everyone, for emailing me. Had over 30 respondents there, and it turns out that Ann from Technology Partners is the winner. So, Ann, congratulations, and I will be in touch with you and help set that up for you. So thanks again to all of our listeners, and just a really good show, and want to encourage you to join us next month, where we'll take a close look at time management with industry expert Paul Burton. So, of course, don't forget to sign up for one of our free reality check benchmark reports to see how your call center compares to others in the industry. So we'll go ahead and wrap that up here once again from Call Talk and from all of us here at Benchmark Portal. Keep those headsets steady and your fingers ready. This is Brian Carrington signing out. Have a great day. good day.